stars are hiding in the clouds. I don't feel them shining when I can't see beyond my doubt. The silver lining when I've almost reached the end. Like a flood, you're rushing in. Your love is rushing in.
morning, everyone. Welcome to Haven Community Church. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and do mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for your love and justice, God. You use the weak to be the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. Here we go. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough, oh.
Hosanna, Hosanna. But I need you, I need you, I need you. Every breath, every pulse of my heart. Christ, have mercy, let mercy abound. I need you, I need you now. I pour out your grace. Glorious grace that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving.
Sit down, look at somebody and tell them, glad you came to church today.
Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus didn't say you might find rest, or that somehow you'll find rest as you wander aimlessly through this life. He said, come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's a promise. You can take Jesus at his word. You can choose to take all your cares and worries, anxiety and pain, habits and hurts, and give them to Jesus. Are you restless? Are you weary and worn out? If given the opportunity, could today be that day of rest?
All right, everyone. Good morning. We're going to go ahead and head into our prayer request time. And we have a couple of prayer requests here. We have prayers from Allison. She asked for prayers, continued prayers for healing for her mom, Jean Craig. Donna asked for prayers for son-in-law Curtis's health issues and sister-in-law who is in the hospital. Karen asked for prayers for Amy and Nathan Klein. Nathan is having brain surgery on September 15th. Carol Henson also, we've been in going through this with Greg, who is back in the hospital. He has had another immediate surgery. He had some leaking. He had the brain situation, and so we want to pray for that. And so he, the surgery was not on yesterday, but continue to keep him in your prayers as well. Also, if you didn't have the opportunity to put in the prayer request, please go ahead and you can do that online at havencc.org, and we'll make sure that it gets to everyone. Just keep everyone else in your prayers during this crazy time, as we still have a lot of different things going on. I know that Kathy shared that her cousin, the young girl, was 7 years old. Was that right? That we've been praying for last week. She spent 10 days in Johns Hopkins and is home with complications for COVID. So we give God thanks for that as well. All right. A lot of times we forget to stop and go ahead and give God praise for the good stuff, right? We get past it and say, oh, God answered that, and we continue to go on. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer right now if we can, and just to go ahead and see where God is going to lead us today. Lord, we just come to you today giving you all the honor and glory that you deserve, and I pray that you will be very present with us here today. And so, God, for the number of people that we lifted up on the prayer list, for Gene Craig, for Curtis, for another family members that are in the hospital, for Nathan, who is having brain surgery, for Greg, who has been is young but just been dealing with some of these horrific challenges at such a young age. God, we just pray that you will be with them. You'll guide them. You'll bring healing and restoration to their bodies, minds, and spirits in all things. For those of us who have prayers that are unspoken, a lot of times, God, we just sometimes we're just so beat down, we're tired, we don't feel like we can pray. We want to continue to lift up Lou Sho and Debbie Ross and others in your prayers. We ask for Pastor Oog and our brothers and sisters in Haiti, for all others who are dealing with all kinds of situations, giving you thanks that the little girl is home and that you've answered our prayers there. And so, God, whatever is going to happen in this week, you already know, and you're ready to meet us there in that. And so, Lord, we just pray that this time together will be one that we can stop the world and focus on you and see where you're going to direct and guide us. I want to ask for a special prayer for Amanda Burton, who is also nearing the end at some point. But God, I thank you for her strength and for her testimony in you. So just to continue to bring your Holy Spirit into this place and to each person in the sound of our voice, and even more than that, for we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are in week 3 of our series, I Choose a Better Way, and we're going to be talking about that. We're going to put the bulletin up here real quick. If you want to get that with a QR code, just bring out your smartphone and hold up the camera, and you can go ahead and get that and have it there and follow along. So we have that there. Youth group will be after church. Again, we have that. Continue to keep in mind things like our Stephen Ministry. If you need any of that, Grief Share, which is meeting on Mondays, and you can join in person or on Zoom. And there's been a lot of grief and loss this year in many different forms and ways. Paris Foundation still needs some volunteers that are willing to go ahead and do the 60 dinner bags. And that will be Sunday, September 19th, which is next Sunday. So there's information, and you can drop that off at the Education Center on Hollingsworth Manor between 4 and 4:15. Elkton Community Kitchen, again, bag lunches, and September 24th. And so there's we need some people to hand out the completed bags from 10:30 a.m. to 1, and 40 bag lunches dropped off between 10:30 and 11. So if you're willing to do that, please connect. Also, our women's group has been meeting every Thursday night, 6:30 to 8:30, and they are doing a study in the book of Hebrews. So I'd love to have you join that if you are able and would like to. Okay? So that's some of the main announcements, and we're rolling along, and all those good things. All right? So how you doing today?
Good.
And you have that feel of fall in the air, don't you? That kind of wake up and feel fall, which is kind of cool. You know, football starts and all that kind of stuff, so some people either love it or hate it, all right? But either way, that's where we are. Okay, so this week we are going to talk about pain, all right? We're going to talk about purpose instead of pain this week. So one of the most depressing things that I've heard from people ever, and I kind of get it myself at times when times get difficult or when something's going on, you often hear people say, I just don't see the purpose. Anybody ever heard that? Or they might follow up with this, what's the point? What's the point? You ever feel like that? Well, that's something that happens. It may be something like in their relationships, and what's the point? It's too broken anyway. Or in their finances. I mean, what's the point? I take two steps up and five back. Might be something like that. Or even spiritually when it comes to church. People that will say all kinds of things. Like, what's the purpose? I don't see a purpose in this. I'm exhausted. Why should I keep trying? Why do I try to do what's right and it doesn't seem to make a difference at all? Anybody been there? All right. And I just don't see, why bother? Why torture myself? Sometimes people will say that. So there is a reason. And, you know, I've heard it said before that people hate pain. How many of you hate pain? Like, how many have a pretty high tolerance for pain? Okay, stab them. No, just joking. A lot of times, a lot of people don't like pain or painful situations. I think most people will kind of say, you know, if I can do without pain, okay, I have a high tolerance for it, but I don't really like it. I don't want to continue with pain. And so I'm going to argue that that's not completely accurate, all right? I'm going to argue that that's not completely accurate. Because in my opinion, people don't hate pain. They hate pain without a purpose. Okay, they hate pain without a purpose. And that's the first thing we have on your bulletin today and following along. So like, for instance, if something bad happens or some sort of pain happens and there's not a reason or something that you can say, okay, that's what it is, it just seems senseless. Like, for instance, I can hear it when we do our prayer requests. Like, we'll say, hey, pray for so-and-so. They're 95 years old and they're nearing the end of life. And you go, oh. And I say, hey, there's a six-year-old who is diagnosed with terminal cancer. And you go, oh, right? Because it doesn't make sense. And there's no purpose in that for us. Or it could be that there's a car wreck and somebody's really hurt. Or you tested positive with COVID and some die and some don't. And you go, what? Like, some don't even have any symptoms, but others have passed away. You lose your job after giving all you have. And you go, what the heck? It makes no sense. You try to do what's right and you get taken advantage of. You dedicate yourself to helping others in life and they hurt you. And you go, wow. And you wonder, what's the purpose of this? Or you may even go, God, where are you in this? I don't see a reason or a purpose. So we often go, God, what's the purpose then, God? What's the purpose of this? You know, I'm trying to do right. I'm a good person. I try to help people. I just don't see the point. But again, in my opinion, it's not that people don't despise pain, it's just that they don't like pain without a purpose. And I'm going to prove it to you now, because some people actually pay money to experience pain as long as there's a purpose. So for instance, has anybody in here ever run a marathon? All right, you're sane. But there are some people that pay good amounts of money, and they do all kinds of things to go ahead and do this marathon. Now, about mile 3, you know, like, okay, this is going along. But, you know, and it may start to get painful around 4 or 5. And then there's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 14, 18, 26. 26 miles. I'll drive it, but you know what I mean? There are people who really, and the training, anybody know anybody who's trained for a marathon? It is intense. But people will pay for that in a marathon, even though it's painful. One of my good friends ran too, and he had this great picture of him crossing the finish line going, like dying, and there's this like 80-year-old man behind him, 70-year-old man behind him going like this, and he's like, look at that guy behind me. He said, and so what you see is it's not the pain, they pay for pain, but it's the fulfillment of having that sense of accomplishment that, hey, I did a marathon. And you know that they did because they slapped that little sticker on the back of their car and let everybody know. The payoff is greater than the pain. There are people who enjoy CrossFit. Anybody ever done CrossFit? All right, there you go. 4,000 push-ups, 4,000 air squats, 4,000 burpees, and that's just the warm-up. I'm not lying. Then it's incredibly painful. I had a friend who did P90X. He was going to get in shape, and he got P90X, and he went and did it. He started that thing. Anybody know what P90X is? Okay, there you go. It's a great thing. You try it. My friend did it several times. He started out, and he said, I got this. And he said, after about 15 minutes in, he was dead, and he was throwing up. He said he was actually throwing up. He got up. He did it again. He threw up again, and he put it away. He was done with P90X. He said he thought the P was for projection vomiting is what he was dealing with. You see, what happens when you go ahead and you want to do this whole kind of CrossFit thing, people will endure all kinds of pain because there's a payoff in it. There's an accomplishment. You feel better. You have a camaraderie. It's done with all kinds of other insane people. You enjoy the people that you're with, and you get in better shape. What about people in recovery, those who have been addicts in some way? They go through the pain of detox and withdrawal, which is absolutely horrific. But they do it for the payoff, living in life of recovery. There are those of you ladies here, who have given birth to children. I was there for all five of mine, and I didn't have to push anything, right? It looks painful to me. And gentlemen, if I had one, I would remember that forever, and I would be done. The population would drop if God made men. Right, men? Are you with me here? And so, you know, that it's painful, and you go through so much stuff. Melissa went through bed rest with several of them and all kinds of things. But the payoff is when you get that baby in your hands, or that kid. Am I right? And you see that, and you forget the pain. People will endure a lot of things for pain. It reminds me of the husband whose wife was going into labor, and she said, she was just sitting there, and he said, what's wrong? And she said, it's these contractions. And he said, I am sorry, what is wrong? Get it, contractions? Come on, you guys, it's so slow. All right, anyway, I forget it. I'll try again next week. All right, so I wonder how many of you right now are just living in a season of pain or instability. That you may be saying, this is not easy. I don't see a whole lot of good in this. You may have a lot of frustration. There's a lot of pain. None of this makes any sense. You said, what's the point? So the title of today's message, once again, is I Choose a Better Way, Purpose Instead of Pain. Pray with me, if you will, right now. Father, we ask by the power of your word, by the goodness of your presence, that in the middle of whatever season of pain, uncertainty, doubts, frustrations, weariness, or whatever, that we could truly sense your purpose, your goodness, and your care. So God, speak to us today and help us to see that there is a reason. There is a purpose in our pain. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And everybody says, amen. Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to share with you, I'm going to start off today by giving you the words of Jesus that really bother me. It's a story of Jesus, and he's talking to Simon Peter, and this is in the end of Luke. It's right before the crucifixion, right before they go to the Gethsemane, the Lord's Supper, and Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he says this. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." So I don't think many of us have that statement now, like, hey, I'm going to sift you as wheat, sucker. I mean, we don't talk that way now. But Jesus is having a conversation here, and what is going on is Jesus has been saying, hey, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to hand it over. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And Simon says, oh, no, not happening. Not happening on my watch. And Jesus is saying to him, he says, Simon, Satan has asked me to sift you as wheat. And what does this mean? It means Jesus in this case says, Simon, the devil has asked to attack you, to try to hurt you, to try to test you, to try to destroy you, to try to take you out. And Jesus could have said to Simon, say, hey, I know you're going to be embarrassed. I know you're going to be humiliated because you're not going to succeed. You're going to fall short. You're going to fail. It's going to be a season that's more difficult than you've ever experienced in your life. And he could have said that, right? He could have said, hey, hang in there. Don't worry. It's going to get better. But look at what Jesus does. Let's look at this, the rest of this verse. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Well, what does he say? But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Now, I don't know about you. You say, why is that bothering you? Because if Satan wants to attack me, let's say I'm going to be Simon right now, okay? I'm going to be Simon Peter. He says, hey, Jack, the devil, Satan, has asked to attack you, to destroy you, to rip you apart. And I say, what? And he goes, but don't worry, I pray for you. And I'm like, well, can we skip the prayer part and can you just take him out? I mean, what about you? Does that sound better to you? I mean, it does to me. Okay, I'll be praying for you. You know, you ever go to a place and you tell somebody something, they ask how you're doing, and you actually tell them, and then as you're talking to them, they say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you, and you know they're not going to. Come on. We know, right? You know, or even if they do, you're like, it feels good, but I need something more. If you have the power to remove that and they say, I'm going to pray for you, you want something else. Just go kick some devil butt is what I want Jesus to do. But he didn't say that. He said, hey, I'll be praying for you. So I don't know about you, but there's been a while that I felt really under attack. It's just like an ongoing thing when it never stops. And often when you have those times, it's like a frustration. There's a frustration that there's people that are sick in our world, in our country, for absolutely no reason. Not even with COVID. Let's not forget, if you want to get a reality check, go up to AI DuPont one day. All right? There are people that are hurting and not having anyone to reach out to. There are people that are in need. People that have lost jobs, and there's leaders making decisions, and not all of them are great. There are people who say they love Jesus, yet they act as if they could care about loving others, or even the church, which is the body of Christ. It just goes on and on and on. And many of us are still asking that question, is anything ever going to be normal again? Maybe you're praying and praying and praying that God will answer your heart's desire. And now that's just turned worse. It's incredibly frustrating. And God, are you even listening to the cries of my heart? What's it matter? Maybe for some unemployment, you've been underemployed or undervalued. And maybe you're unemployed and wondering, God, where are you in the middle of all this? You had a job you loved, but for some reason, it was taken from you. And you're like, I don't understand. You might feel like you're failing right now in your own business, in your own relationships, as a parent or as a provider. Whenever it feels the devil is attacking you, when he's testing you, it's important to remember that sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. Sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain. In other words, there's a purpose in your pain. God might be using the pain that we're enduring to do something in us before he does something through us. I'm going to say that again. That God may be using the pain, not causing it, but maybe using the pain to do something in us before he does something through us. The pain that we're experiencing may be a preparation for a purpose that God has for us. And so I want to show you more about this story with Simon Peter. We're going to touch on another story that displays some things with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I read about Simon Peter, I feel really good about myself. Anybody else? Like, Simon Peter has open mouth insert foot disease, and I love it because he just says it, and I'm like, yes, He's an imbecile, but God built his church on him. And he was passionate about all those things. How many of you have a friend like that opens mouth, inserts foot, and always gets you in trouble? Like back in the day, they were the ones who got you in all the fights and arguments with other people. Okay, and if you are shaking your head no, guess what? You are that friend, to let you know. But Peter is just this guy that you see, and he's that friend that just by his or her actions and mouth, they just make you feel better about yourself. Everybody needs a friend like that. So the devil comes, he wants to attack Simon Peter, and he attacks him, and he wants to show you some of Simon Peter's failures. So there are many of his failures in the scripture, but right now I just want to give you a couple of them. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus says, God sent me to give life, and on the third day, God will raise him from the dead. Peter immediately rebukes Jesus, saying, and this is Jesus' purpose for coming, giving his life for us. Peter says, Jesus said, this is why I came. Peter says, no, it's not happening. Jesus said, this is why God sent me. Peter says, no, not going to happen. Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, you're a stumbling block. And then he calls Peter Satan. Now, just to let you know, if Jesus, the Son of God, calls you Satan, you better get your stuff in check. And that's what happens here. He says, get behind me, Satan. And that's what happened. So here Jesus is declaring, here's my divine calling. Peter's saying, nope, doesn't fit with me, not going to happen. Jesus said, no, this is why I'm sent. Don't care. I know why I want you here. All right, so that's failure number one. Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is wrestling with his calling. I mean, in agony with it, struggling. And he says, hey, he took Simon Peter, James, John, says, hey, you guys stay here, pray with me, and don't fall asleep. And guess what happens? Jesus comes back in a little while, and in John 18, we hear the same story, and they're sawing logs. Peter's like, Jesus wakes him up, get up. And he keeps falling asleep. You ever had somebody who you needed to help you and they keep falling asleep? All right, so that kind of goes. So same story, John 18, Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is arrested by Roman soldiers. Peter again says, this ain't going to happen. He pulls out a sword. He swings for a Roman soldier's head. So it tells you he's not only a bad fisherman, because he never catches anything without Jesus, but he's also a bad swordsman because he swings at his head and he cuts off his ear. Right? You know, it's not like he was like, I'm going to cut off your ear. He is that bad, he swings at a head and cuts off an ear. You get where I'm saying here? This is where he is. And the guy has his ear cut off, all right? His ear's off, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, chill out, calm down. Put your sword back. You're getting in the way of my purpose. And then it gets really kind of funny. Like, Jesus, like, goes, anybody seen an ear? Somebody find that? Where's his ear? I mean, they're arresting him, and he's looking for the guy's ear that Peter missed the head. I guess if it was the head and he would have hit it, Jesus would have put the head back on. But he's like, maybe it's under the bush, and they find this guy's ear. They plop it on, Jesus heals him, and then they take him away, and everybody else takes off. Once again, Simon Peter, open mouth, insert foot, open sword, cut off ear, all right? And then the big one. Jesus prophesied that Peter would end up denying him three times before the rooster crowed. Peter said, hey, all these other suckers will fall away. Not me. Hey, I'm Rocky. Hey, yo, not me. What happened just a short time later? A little girl comes up. Weren't you with him? No, not me. Somebody else, you're not with him? Weren't you with him? No. And then the third time, he cusses out Jesus. Here's what's really interesting about the third time in Luke 22. It's incredibly painful that Jesus actually saw Peter cuss, that he never knew him. It says, according to Luke, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. Think about this statement, wept bitterly. The pain he felt was more than he could bear. I mean, this is a big guy. This is Rocky. This is like the guy, hey, I mean, this is him. This is the guy who pulled out a sword against Roman soldiers. Number one, that's pretty dumb. Number two, he's here and he's so broken because he messed up or because this pain hit him that he never felt his entire life. He probably thought, wow, I'm such a failure. I let God down. I haven't lived up to my potential. He said he was going to build his church on this, and I can't even stand up for him. I am such a failure. There may be so many people right now that feel this way. like business owners that said, that through COVID and everything said, I should have seen something like this coming and I had to lay off good people. Or people working from home said, I just can't get it going. I'm working so hard, but I cannot stand working at home. I have got to get on the road. Or educators who feel overwhelmed and say, I'm doing stuff, but I feel like I'm missing and not connecting to and giving these kids what they need. Or I feel like a failure because I'm not giving them everything they need. Or pastors who say, I'm supposed to have the fruits of the Spirit. I'm supposed to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And the only fruits I have right now are anger, frustration, fear, worry, etc., etc. So where's God in the middle of this? Where was God in the middle of Peter's failure? Where's God in the middle of his pain and his regret? But where's God in the midst of your pain and your regret? You see, for Simon Peter, we learned there was a purpose. There's a reason. The reason may just be that sometimes God takes that pain and his preparation comes packaged in that pain. So what do I feel like I need to do when it comes to this? I have to change perspectives. I don't just look at life from the perspective of pain, which is so easy to do. It's easy to be in a season of pain, confusion, and suffering and just look and say, here's what I've lost. Here's what's not fair. I used to have this. Here's what I was going to do and where I was going to go. But now, because of what happened, I don't have the money or the time or the effort or the heart. And now it's just gone. This is just great. Here's what I was seeing, but now I'm seeing something different. It's easy to get in that season where we look at a perspective from pain when we're in the midst of pain and suffering. And the Apostle Paul says one of the most quoted verses, and he says something like this. And here it is right here. He says, we know, everybody say we know, that in how much? All things, God works for the good of those who love him. Now watch this. Who have been called according to his what? What was that word? Purpose. Purpose. He's got a purpose for us. God works all things, everything for good for those who love him and are called to his purpose. Whatever you're going through right now, even in whatever season you are going through, God is working it all for good according to his purpose, not your pain. It is God's purpose, not our pain. But God will take the experience of our pain to accomplish his purpose if we love him. So what I feel that I need to do and what we need to do is to change the perspective of which I look at life and see God's hand and purpose even working in the middle of my pain. So I'm going to give you 1 and 2 here first, our new 1 and 2. You said, Jack, you just did 1 and 2. We're going to have another 1 and 2, and I want you to look at this, but I'm going to give them to you again. All right, I want to show you where we're going. So what we're going to do, we're not just going to look at life from a perspective of pain, but we're going to see our pain through the perspective or through the lens of purpose, all right? And they'll be back up here, so get them. And in order to do that, what I'm going to do is I recognize that some of you may say, okay, all right. Some of you may be thinking, Jack, you don't know how much I'm hurting. You don't know how desperate I feel, and it's easy for you to act like it's fine in your little preacher world. But I'm actually really hurting right now. And I may be thinking, you don't have a clue what this last year has done to me. You don't know how much I'm hurting, and you don't know how desperate I feel. And all I know is in my lonely preacher world, I'm hurting. So we all have a perspective of pain, all right? So wherever we are, let's start there to see where we're going to get to. And what we got to keep in mind is maybe the thing that you and I have dreaded the most is what God may use to develop us in a way that only he can do to bring about his purpose, all right? Again, I'm going to say this. God is not causing your pain. Sometimes I'm the agent of my pain, right? Sometimes I have no control of the pain That's going there. Sometimes Satan may have said, hey, let me mess with Jack for a while. And God says, I'll pray for you, Jack. I'm like, can you take care of it? But he's praying. I'm going to show you the power in that in a second. So in order to do that, if you have Bibles or you just want to follow along in your bulletin, we are going to go to John chapter 11, verses 1 through 43. One of the most famous stories in Scripture. It's about Jesus and him raising Lazarus from the dead, okay? So those of you who have been churchified for a while, you understand that story. Those of you who are not, don't worry, we're going to go through it, all right? We'll be fine. So let's look at this from both perspectives, and we're going to talk about this from this story about Jesus and Lazarus. Everybody good? All right, so up here we go. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, is the same who poured perfume on the Lord's hair and wiped feet and wiped his poured perfume on his feet and then wiped it with her hair. I guess they didn't have a towel, but that's okay. All right. So that's where we are. This tells you who Lazarus is, right? He has two sisters. What are their names? Martha and Mary, okay? They are very important to Jesus. John is going to tell us several times that Jesus loved them, that Jesus loved them, that they had a love for them. This was kind of like his adoptive family. You ever have people who are so close to you that are friends? They may not be blood relatives, but they're family. This is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus to Jesus, okay? And he would go there, he'd stay, and he really loved him. And so here's what they say. Let's continue on here. So the sister sent word to Jesus, and here we go. Lord, the one you love is sick. Hey, your brother's sick. Your brother's in the hospital. He's not doing well. Okay? Most of us, if we got that call, what would we do? Drop everything and rush. Remember, we've been talking in this series about how Jesus was busy, but never rushed. Jesus never ran anywhere. How many of you tried to find it? Jesus never ran anywhere. People ran all around him, but Jesus never ran anywhere. And last week, remember we were talking about Jairus' daughter who was dying, and Jesus said, let's go. And all of a sudden, the woman with the issue of blood reaches out, grabs the hem of his garment. Jesus stops and talks to her. Daddy Jairus is probably like, would you come on? And Jesus is sitting there talking. Somebody comes from the house and says, hey, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter died. And Jesus said, hey, just believe. Let's go. And moseys on there. Jesus moseys everywhere because he is busy but never hurried. And that's why we're trying to look at this from a different perspective. Our pain often causes us to rush and hurry through life, often in directions we don't even know where we're headed. And so here we are, this Jesus' brother, Lazarus, it's a brother of his. It's not a real brother, but it's like a brother of his, is sick and dying. He's in bad shape, really bad shape. So let's look at this story from the perspective of pain. All right? And here we go. In John 11, 4 through 6, it says this. Remember, we hear it, we take right off. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. Now, then there's some dot, dot, dots there. You can fill in the blanks by reading it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There you go again. That is like the third or fourth time in this section you hear Jesus loves his family. And he loves them so much, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling the love. If I need Jesus and he loves me, I want him in the midst of my pain right that moment. Do you? I want him now. But guess what? He may stay a couple days. You know why? Because Jesus is never hurried. He's never in a rush. Never, ever is he hurried. Lazarus is so sick, he's dying. Mary and Martha are so concerned. And they know that Jesus is their only hope. John has stated time and time again, he loved them. He really loved them. He really loved them. Jesus is busy but not rushed. It's almost as if he's completely unconcerned. Wouldn't you take that? If you called me and you said, hey, my husband, my wife, my child is dying. Can you come to the hospital right now? And I said, yeah, you know, I love you guys. And I show up 2 more days after they're dead. What are you going to think about my care for you? going to think it's not very good, not very healthy. From the perspective of pain, it leads us to rushed, hectic lives filled with anxiety and hopelessness. In the next section we're going to look at, in verses 14 and 15 at the beginning. So the disciples are like, okay, what's going on? Where is he? And Jesus said, hey, he's sleeping. And they say, hey, if he's asleep, then let him sleep. He'll get better. And Jesus is tired of walking around this, and he says this. He says, so then he told them, these are the disciples, plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, ready for this? I am glad I was not there. Does this sound like Jesus loves him? I'm glad I wasn't there and he died. For you guys' sake. Okay? And this is where Jesus comes. And a lot of times in the midst of our pain, we're like, wait, this happened. Are you glad that you weren't there, God? Where were you in this? What does it matter? The same questions are going on and on and on. In the moments of pain, do you ever feel like no one really cares? Or they might even just seem like this seems heartless. John has said that Jesus loved this family. So much so that he was glad he wasn't there when he died. The perspective of pain will leave you believing if anybody, including God, ever cares. Verses 21 and 32, Jesus arrives on the scene a couple days later. He first sees Martha. In verse 21, Martha meets him and says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay? If you had been here, can you feel like the frustration, the disappointment? If you had been here. If you don't feel it with Martha, let's go to Mary. Mary reached the place to where Jesus was, and she saw him. She fell at his feet and said, first thing, not hi, how you doing? Not hey, so glad you came. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. How many of you ever had an if-then with God? God, if you had intervened, then my life wouldn't be so difficult right now. God, if you had been there at that moment, then I wouldn't have taken this path that I took in my life. God, if and then. From the perspective of pain, the if you hads or the if thens will lead us to these if then lives, which are conditional lives, which leads to lives that are tossed around by situation and emotion, lives that are all over the place, and ultimately they are disappointed in Jesus and everybody else who doesn't come through the way we want them to be, and we ultimately have a lack of trust in God time and time again. Have you ever really prayed, guttural prayers, God, do something, and you feel like he's just asleep or somewhere 2 days away? So now Jesus is there. Then not only Mary and Martha, who Jesus loved, are disappointed and frustrated. Lazarus is in the tomb, been there for 4 days now. And the people around him say this. Could he not have opened the eyes of the blind man and kept this man who cares about from dying? They're saying he did all these miracles, but for a family that he's supposed to love, he does nothing. From the perspective of pain, it leads to doubt and throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know how many people I've talked to in 25 plus years of ministry where people have gone ahead and said, I looked to God for this and he was not there, and so I'm done with God. You know, oh, I went to this such and so church and the person said this to me and did this and I am done. And often when we live these conditional lives and these lives from the perspective of pain, it is easy to give up on each other and easy to give up on God. And often many of us hold on to our pain because it gives us an atmosphere and gives us something to hold on to. And we've had it so long in our lives, we wouldn't know how to live life without pain. Particularly if that pain is going to help us have purpose. So now let's switch our perspective and let's look at these same verses from a perspective of purpose. Let's go back to John 11, chapter 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory." What is the purpose? So that. Anytime you have an if-then, look for a so that. Everybody got that? You have an if-then in your mind, look for the so that. Why has this happened? If this had happened, look for the so that. Why is this not going to end in death? He didn't say he wasn't going to die. He said it's not going to end there. One of the things that we need to understand is whatever season you are going through, if you put your faith in Jesus, it will not end there, because there's a so that. And the so that is that God's Son may be glorified in it. The perspective of pain is Lazarus dying leads to rush, hectic lives filled with anxiety and hopelessness. That's the if then. The so that is that we don't need to rush in our situations because Jesus has this. Jesus did not need to get to Lazarus before he died because he knew the result was it was not going to stay there and end in death. Why? Because God and Jesus will get glory. What is glory? We throw that, that's a churchy term. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God, glory. What does it mean? Fame, renown, notoriety, and the glory of God is a reference to his presence. We need to lift Jesus up a heck of a lot more famous and renowned than he is. And we need his presence. At that moment when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, come on out, Lazarus, the presence of God filled that place, the glory of God found. Okay, let's go to verses 14 and 15. Then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. Perspective of pain. Lazarus is dead and no one cares. Perspective of purpose. So that, see the so that you may what? Believe. So that you may believe. So that you may believe. Not just in him. Not just him. Let us go to him. The perspective of purpose is it won't end in death. So Jesus could be glad, even at the death of a friend, because he was certain of the outcome. Belief in God goes back to the verse that Paul said, that we actually believe that no matter what season we are going through, no matter what pain we are dealing with, the so that is that God is working in all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. The if then will keep us in a perspective of pain, but so that tells us that God is working even in the most tragic things. And you can be glad because there's an outcome. Verses 21, 26. Everybody good? All right. So the Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not have died. And they go through this whole thing. Hey, he's going to be resurrected, she said, in the day. And they go through all this stuff. You can read it. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. She goes, yeah, I know it's the last day and blah, blah, blah. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then he says what? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That's the question we all have to ask ourselves. In the midst of a perspective of pain, we end up in situational and emotional reactions. In the perspective of purpose, there is someone who is the resurrection of life. It's not a thing. It is a someone. Him. Jesus says he is the resurrection of life. To know Jesus is to know resurrection and life. To have Jesus is to have resurrection and life. To live, as in this series, the way of Jesus is to live, regardless of situation and pain and suffering, to live in resurrection and life. And you know how freeing that is? To know that if I go out here and get in a car accident and am in the hospital for days and I eventually die, that you may be sad, but guess what? I know resurrection and life. And because I know that, this ain't it. Thank God. Right? This is not it. This is not it. This is not it. Resurrection and life is, no matter how bleak my dying situation is or how the pain seems, the purpose of God is that I have resurrection and life. Believing is freeing. Christian writer John Trapp said this, in the primitive church, when they repeated the article of a creed that said, I believe in the resurrection of the flesh, they would point and hit their own bodies and say, ready for this? Etiam hujus carnis, even this very flesh. Even this very flesh. A lot of times we get this perspective that all this amazing stuff was just meant for those people in the Bible. But if I really know resurrection and life, I realize that it's meant for me today. John 11, and I'm going to read some 39 to 40. I think you just have 40. They go to the tomb. Lazarus has been in there 4 days. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha says, Lord, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been in there 4 days. In the King James, I love the King James Version here. It says, and he stinketh much. If you have teenagers, you know what that means, right? He stinketh much. Then Jesus said, I love that Jesus just kind of says, and whatever. Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believe, remember back, he said, do you believe I'm the resurrection of life? Did I not tell you you would see the glory of God? Now, from the perspective of pain, everything in life stinketh much. How many of you have said, recently, over the last year, every day of life, I can't stand my life. It stinketh much. I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm whatever. It stinketh much. That may be where you feel and where you are. There's things in your life that may have been dead for way too long. Hope may have been dead way too long. Relationships may be dead too long. Your joy may have been dead too long. Your happiness, you say, I'm never going to be happy. It's laying in a tomb somewhere. And it stinketh much. Your vision and hope for the future stinketh much. But from the perspective of purpose, we can see and experience the glory of God working together, in us working together with Jesus. You see, Jesus was fully capable of doing the miracle without Mary and Martha believing, but he wanted them in on it because he wanted them to see in the midst of their pain, he is resurrection and life, and there is a purpose. And he wanted them to see the glory of God. In fact, the stronger the pain might be an indication of the bigger purpose that God has in your life. Maybe this season of pain is preparation for the purpose that is to come. We talked about the words of Jesus that frustrated me at the beginning of this. I'm going to give you some others. From his brother James. From the perspective of pain. Consider it pure joy, if I'm going to read this. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Woohoo! Yeah, I lost my job. Woohoo! I have cancer. Woohoo! Yeah, I don't know. I walk funny. I don't know. You know, I mean, what do you say here? How do you say all this stuff that's happening to me? Yay! Woohoo! Raise a banner. I can't. Can you? We just talked about it. We don't like pain. If you went, think about the thing that if you heard that would bring you the most amount of pain today, if you went home and that's what you heard, and that's what you found out, are you going to go, yes, I'm not. That's just plain weird. Why, James, why? Because there's purpose in the pain. Let's look at the perspective from purpose. Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. In other words, there's a reason in this purpose. So let perseverance finish its work. Here we go. What do you see? So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You see, Simon Peter, at the time, right before Jesus was crucified and everything else and captured and all that, he had not let perseverance work through him yet. He was immature. He was lacking. The experience of being disconnected with Jesus and disowning Jesus matured him to that he was ready to receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So if we go back to that verse, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Then watch what Jesus says. Simon, and when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Perspective of pain. Satan wants to take you out, completely to crush you. He wants, what do we mean by chaff? He wants to, you know, chaff is that outer husk when the seeds fall to the ground of wheat. They just blow away. And that's how many of us are living our lives due to pain, that the hope of salvation, the faith, the seed of faith is falling away because we've lost hope. We've lost direction. We've lost trust. And Satan just wants our lives to be blowing in the wind here and there by every single situation. But Jesus knew the purpose was that when he made it through it, by Jesus praying for him, that Satan can't do everything he wants. But the very thing that Satan is going to do that is going to be your low point throughout all of history, it may be that you falter, but you will never fail in me. You will never fail me. Don't give up. You will turn back. Jesus told him, you're going to die in me. He said, no way, no way, no way. Jesus says, when you do, and when you come back, then strengthen your brothers. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be more prepared for God's purpose. The pain for Simon Peter and everyone else was actually preparation for him to be one of the greatest people in the early church. After the resurrection, when Jesus gave his life and raised from the dead, Simon Peter was able to fulfill his purpose. He was the first person to preach on the power of the resurrection. Remember, he had foot and mouth disease and always said the wrong thing? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, Simon Peter stood up and became the greatest preacher to that moment. He said to people, repent of your sins. And 3,000 people changed their lives and followed Jesus that day. You know why? Because when he said, repent of your sins, the experience of his pain and Jesus saying, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And restoring him, stuck with him, so he knew he was a stronger place and he understood something that he would never have understood if he hadn't have gone through the pain of denying Jesus. You may not always see it, and I don't always see it, but by faith, we have to choose to believe it. We have to say something like this, God, give me eyes to see your purpose, even in the midst of this torturous pain, and I'm going to choose to believe it. I have said, and I have lifted up to you, and I'm feeling some things shift, but for me, the last year plus has been one pain after another, one season of pain, one next thing of pain, from family issues and hurt to my children and others, and to the loss of parents, to shifting in my own life and being attacked from things that come from the outside that make absolutely no sense, and still trying to hold everything together and make sure everything keeps going on. And I'm like, there's moments where I wake up and I say, oh, you didn't come back last night, please. Do I have to get out of bed today? Do I have to do anything? And I'm going on and on. Because the pain, from the perspective of pain, it has me wanting to be Lazarus in the tomb. I just roll that stone over there and I'll stay here. Like if Jesus said, Jack, come out, I'd be like, uh-uh. I like it in here. You know what I mean? Because the perspective of pain, you're just waiting for what shoe is going to drop next. What thing is going to happen next? Haven't you felt that way in some ways in this year? What's next going to happen? And I don't see the purpose right now. I'm in the if then, and I'm hoping for the so that. But what I found in walking for Jesus for over 4 decades is if you look at life from one snapshot, one moment, one day, one season, it can be easy to be disillusioned, to feel like God is not doing anything, to say, where is he? This isn't fair. There's no purpose. There's no reason. If you look at that one little snapshot, it's easy to miss what God's doing. But what I have found is this. If you look at your life over an extended period of time, look over 5 years, glance back at that snapshot of pain, and say, oh, wow, okay, I see. There you are. Oh, now I see how God used that situation. I didn't see it at the time. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. I definitely don't want to go through it again. But I'm so glad because of what God did in me. So now he can do something through me. There's a purpose in the middle of the pain. So by faith, I have to make a conscious choice to not look at life from a perspective of pain, but looking to believe from a perspective of purpose. I don't know what it'll be for you. Some of you may have lost jobs. Some of you may have lost relationships. Some of you may have lost hope. Some of you may be angry, frustrated, or just worn out and afraid. The greater the pain, perhaps the greater the purpose that's coming. How might God use it in your life? Maybe for some of you, you will connect to your children in a very real way for the first time in so long. intimately getting involved. You've been living in pain so much that you've been rushing around in life trying to do things so much that you forgot to experience the people that you love. Children, maybe you will look and realize that you need to make it better with your parents. You need to make a connection. Is there. I can tell you, since I've been born, this is going to shock you, since I've been born, my parents were here. Let that settle in as my intelligence on that statement, all right? But the moment they're gone, I would do anything to drive an hour just to listen to them bicker with each other. You know what I mean? All those times and all the stuff that I was so busy to do seemed like absolutely nothing. I'm so busy. Mom, Dad, call. Hey, I'm just really busy. Sorry. Yeah, hey, love you. I'm really busy, really busy. I wish I wasn't so busy to spend more time there. Okay? So hurried. Some of you, it may need to be able to strengthen your relationships. Maybe it's your marriage you need to strengthen. You say, and I'm not talking about, yay, we went away for 2 days and now it's good. But like you may be at the point where you really don't like each other. You're like, I don't like him. I don't like her. Left the toothpaste off of him, you know what I mean? And maybe the pain you're going through is to help you realize that you have some real problems that you need to address that have been there for a long, long time, and you need to get some help. And on the other side of that pain that you're experiencing now, you may see the purpose and the blessing of God that he brings to the resurrection of life in your marriage. For some of you, I just believe that maybe out of your pain, there may be ministries that you'll see opportunities and ways to meet new people and to help people. Others, it may be that you decide to start a business. It may be like you felt like you were a failure because of what happened, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what? God, you took me out of my comfort zone, so now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do something. There'll be those of you that you're going through this very difficult time, but it may rock you out of your spiritual complacency, knock you off your self-dependence to where you come to the point of desperation and where all you can do is cry out to God. He's waiting for you to draw near and to draw near you. So as we wind this down, is it hard? Yep. But there's a reason. God is working in all things to bring about the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. What is the purpose for this season? Ready? Here's my great answer. I don't know. But with every ounce of faith that I can muster, I have to trust that God will show his faithfulness. I'm looking for it. I'm searching for it. I'm trusting for it. I'm trusting that's there. And I'm like, God, hit me within the face because I know that our God is good. And when you've gone through the struggle or pain and you've been rocky for a little bit, when you turn back, just like Simon Peter, when you turn back, use the experience of your pain and your suffering to strengthen the brothers and sisters. Make a difference. Declare the goodness of God. Share his faithfulness. Give him glory in everything that you do. Let his goodness be evident to everyone you meet. Because with our God, there may be pain, but there's always purpose. For Jesus, he joyfully endured the cross, scorning its shame. We know from the Garden of Gethsemane that he didn't just go, woohoo, yay. He was in agony about it. The pain doesn't feel good. But guess what? Even on the cross, there was a purpose. That purpose is you and me. You and me. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. The telestai, it is finished. The purpose is here. And because of his pain, us being his purpose, to reconnect us with the Father, we get to know and experience resurrection and life, the purpose of Christ. Let's stand today as we sing our last song. Also, if you'd like, this time we're going to receive God's tithe and offerings. And I just thank you for giving. If you're a guest here today, we definitely don't expect you to give. We're just glad that you're our guest here today. And thank you for being here with us. But we're just going to ask that God bless your tithe and the offerings. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you will, with me right now. Heavenly Father, we just are in awe of you. And we just thank you that God, in this world, you told us, in this world, you will have trouble. And from the perspective of pain, all of us are saying, darn right, in this world, we're having trouble. So in the if then, God, many of us here today, if then, and many of us in the sound of my voice, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with trouble, and the season of pain and suffering is too much. In this world, you will have trouble, is what you said, but you gave us the so that. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Help us to recognize that there is purpose in the midst of our pain. That there are people that are all around this room that have had, and even watching online, that have experienced some sort of pain, that may even right now be in a season of hopelessness, a season of just feeling beaten down and beaten up, and a season of just loss of direction and just of hurt and loss. And much like the disciples in the boat, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Much like Simon Peter, we just are weeping bitterly. But let us take heart, because as you said to Martha and Mary, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? So God, right now, I'm going to pray for everybody here who right now has in their head some kind of pain and suffering that's going on, whether it be relationships, whether it be jobs, whatever else. That God, I am going to pray right now that they may say, I need resurrection and life in those areas. I need it in my relationships. I need it in my job. I need it in my direction. I need you, Jesus, in the midst of that. I need the so that. Because Jesus, resurrection and life is the only thing that changes pain into the so that to purpose. So God, we are here today to have what you want to speak to us, to bring us restoration and healing. In the midst of that and moving forward, God, there may be somebody here today who has never said yes to you. That has never said, you know, hey, I've messed up. Or there may be somebody else who was with you like Simon Peter and then just turned the other way. But when you turn or when you turn back, God, that whatever experience is going on in their lives, whatever that storm is, that you're going to use it to strengthen others and to give glory to God. And so during this time right now, if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never said, hey, I messed up and I'm off the mark of what I feel life is and the pattern's all over the place, I need a Savior and I need somebody to right this wrong, and Jesus, you're it. Just open up your heart and pray that, and he's going to put it right back on track. And he's going to take your if then and make it so that. So God, right now, I want to thank you for people who are here, who are giving their lives to you or recommitting their lives to you. And whatever pain, whatever situation that they're in, you bring purpose and direction to their lives, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. As we continue and wrap up this service today, and as we receive your tithe and our offerings, we ask for your blessing upon that. But more importantly, I ask for it to be on each person here as you call them out and use whatever pain experience to bring glory to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Jesus crucified.
sheep beneath the waters that Christ was buried.
You to have a great week in the Lord, and next week we're going to conclude our series, and it is your best time is now. I know I don't feel like it a lot of times, but your best time is now. Have a great week and pray for those Eagles. There we go. Actually, the Ravens need more prayers right now. So.